Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by David Ungar, and we are welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Hope everybody who celebrates Christmas had a lovely Christmas holiday. If you're currently in the midst of celebrating Kwanzaa, a blessed Kwanzaa to all of you. Did you light your Kwanzaa candles?
Did not, actually. I did not light my Kwanzaa candles. All the Hanukkah candles were gone. So it was just all about, it was about Christmas, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Got to, you know, we had a break in the weather long enough for me to like barbecue some turkey and some turkey breast, I should say, which came out really good. It was the hot honey barbecue thing that I do. That was a big hit. And nice. Yeah, it was good. You know, I mean, it was a wet few days out here. We're going to get a few days off and then it'll start up again. But yeah, it was good. How was your Christmas?
Christmas is pretty routine at this point over at the O'Dowd household. The little O'Dowd is not so little. He's 13, damn near taller than me at this point. And his requests for Christmas gifts were astonishingly simple. He would like Lego sets and he would like Steam gift cards. And so he got Lego sets and Steam gift cards and a couple of knickknacks here or there from like his aunt. But on the whole, it was video games and Lego sets. He is content. He's already put together a couple. He's working his way up in like sort of degree of difficulty of Lego sets. Like he always starts with the simple ones and then goes bigger and bigger and bigger. The top tier Lego set that he got for Christmas was a Japanese maple, because he's very into the botanical line of Lego sets. That's kind of his jams. That was a good time. The O'Dowds don't, like, our whole family lives out in the Midwest. My brother lives in Ohio. My parents live in Illinois. And so, you know, that's a haul. That's a haul for the holidays, a little bit of a travel issues. We let it ride. We let it go this time around. But, you know, I had a very happy holiday season. My teams have been successful this holiday season. The University of Illinois, after a stunning disappointment on the basketball court against the University of Nebraska, where they just did not show up defensively. They and lost on a last second like 3-point buzzer beater to the Nebraska Cornhuskers when they really shouldn't have even been in the game, because Illinois offense is like the number two offense in the country right now. Like they score like crazy, but their defense has been an issue. They took on the Missouri Tigers, who were feeling pretty good about themselves and their soft schedule to start the year. Man, sorry, hold on a sec. So when they came into St. Louis to play their annual bragging rights game, other podcasters, just so you know what that delay was, because many of you may agree, I wear headphones with my microphone set, and I get very critical of my hair, even though Dave, who has no hair, you know, is probably like, why are you fixing it? Nobody cares. Nobody's watching this. But I keep hearing the inevitability of live streams coming in my life, and I'm like,
I would never put you live without warning you first, sir.
Well, but it's, you know, I don't like earbuds necessarily when we're recording for podcast. You know, you're in the same boat. You've got your over-the-ear headphones.
But I have transitioned to using my AirPods a little bit more here and there.
I also don't use an Apple computer, so.
Well, that doesn't help. But, well, I don't have an Apple computer either, but.
These are wireless. These are wireless. I can Bluetooth it up.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, like I could, I just don't. But anyway.
It's weird. It's just like, I'm just like, what do I feel like wearing today? That sort of thing, you know?
Right. So I'm wearing my University of Massachusetts football shirt. I'm one of the three people who owns one for the fight. We lost our offensive coordinator, by the way, to Pat Fitzgerald and the Michigan State Spartans. In fairness, he was a offensive coordinator under Pat Fitzgerald back when he was coaching Northwestern. So he basically just went back to the coaching tree where he'd worked from, which is kind of par for the course at the University of Massachusetts. Anyway, neither here nor there. Back to the Illinois thing. Illinois absolutely obliterates Missouri in St. Louis. It was like a 90-something to 40-something final score. They sort of went back to their basics on defense and just really shut the water off of the Missouri Tigers. It was very exciting. It was a very happy day. And then, of course, you mentioned this before we hit record, my Chicago Bears get a gift from our good friend Ray Cash's Baltimore Ravens, who, fighting for their playoff lives, defeat the Green Bay Packers by 2 scores. And boy, the Packers, that is a MASH unit right now. You gotta hope they get Jordan. You gotta think they'll get Jordan Love back by the time the playoffs roll around, because he was in concussion protocol. But, you know, they're relying on Malik Willis. He was actually having a pretty darn good game. The Ravens were struggling to contain that dude, but he gets hurt. He'd had an arm problem at the end of the Bears game. He makes a throw and he clearly re-aggravated what happened. After he left the field, the backup, you know, scout team quarterback that they had to bring on the roster because of the attrition, throws an interception, wasn't the guy's fault, went right through the hands of the Green Bay receiver, and a Baltimore player picks it off. Willis, by the time he comes back from the locker room, the game was over, and he never made it back onto the field. So, you know, PC Tunney's Green Bay Packers really aren't going to play anybody next week. They got to get healthy heading into the playoffs. But it allowed my Bears to have no pressure with regards to the division as they take on a tough 49ers team as we record this tonight. This will be playing on Tuesday, so you all know the results. Word is that George Kittle may be out. It sounds like he's been downgraded from questionable to doubtful on the latest injury report. The Bears injury report looked like a fucking half the roster was on it. So it'll be very interesting. They didn't practice on Thursday. So that was my holiday season, was just my teams being successful, which is always, always exciting. What I did want to talk about today to start, because we're going to talk, we the college sports thing, that's going to continue. We got to talk about the latest in college basketball and the just utter lack of common sense that is now happening at the collegiate basketball level with the NCAA having no true authority. Dave, I thought I got to share this. So this podcast, when it started, was a hockey podcast. And, you know, we used to come on here weekly updates, talking about teams, how they were doing, how they were not doing. And when we switched over to the Four Corners podcast, and I can't remember the full, we became the only sports podcast on the network, I think is really what happened. Like Ray's podcast went for a little bit and then fell off. It's kind of been off and on. And we finally were like, look, we like talking about other sports too. We feel competent enough. I would say we're probably the least competent talking about the NBA. If I were to pick a sport, at least for me personally, hey, I'm the least competent.
All I know is that the Knicks and the Thunder are very good. That's the main thing.
The Bulls are shit. I know that. There is a rumor going around that there are several collegiate teams interested in a Bulls player that has played in an NBA game. But we'll get to that on the backside of this. But anyway, funny story. I had a good news that turned into a good news and bad news situation happened to me with regards to hockey. And I've shared this with Dave. I don't know if I've shared it on the podcast, but my wife and I, we were looking at our DirecTV account, trying to set up our ESPN, watch ESPN sort of subscription that we get because of DirecTV that allows me to watch PLEs on the ESPN, watch ESPN app and website. And I've got that sort of figured out, worked out. I still haven't figured out how to get the app to work on my TV, but have definitely got it working on my laptop, which has been nice. But in our exploration, we came across a free offer for NHL Center Ice. I'm like, well, hell yeah, it's free. Let's take advantage of the offer. I can watch the Blues. And so the good news is that I have had access to every NHL game I could possibly want. The bad news is I have had access to the St. Louis Blues hockey team. And boy, oy, that the fact that they're in fifth or sixth, I can't remember where it is in the West right now, is a minor miracle, as their goal differential is minus 35 on the season. My Blues are terrible. Now, they have been injured like crazy. We just got Jordan Kyrou back the other day, so there is some of that going for us. But man alive, they're bad.
They're bad.
They're really bad. And there. But I did see that your Caps hold the top wild card spot in your division currently, as of today.
They're all over the place, man. I think they're going to probably swing a pretty big trade come the trade deadline to kind of get some more offense for Ovi's last season. There's no consistency the last few weeks. They beat the Devils last night in what was a good game, but
same. Blues beat the Preds.
Yeah, I mean the Caps are going to be there in the mix. I looked at the standings briefly, and it's kind of you know, the two-time defending champs are struggling a bit, that's for sure. And you know, they're still dealing with the injury situation. But we've been saying it for how many years on here doing hockey talk? When do the Red Wings turn the corner? Well, it might be this year, because they're on top. Montreal's in second. The Atlantic division looks very strange, except the Sabres still suck. But you know, that's not going to change. But yeah, your Blues, they're not so good.
They're not so good. They did, like I said, yesterday when they played the Preds, they did get Jordan Kyrou back, and they got Jimmy Snuggerud back. So we've got, you know, there's some injured bodies coming back. But the Blues turned out to be like the classic. We talk about this all the time when we used to talk about the NHL. Team fires coach. New coach comes in. Team goes on a run. And that happened last year. We hired Jim Montgomery. He comes in. And the Blues they sneak into the playoffs. Like, they make it to the first round of the playoffs, and they give up a heartbreaking goal with seconds left to go in Game 7 against Winnipeg, with Winnipeg having the extra attacker. I remember watching the game. I'm counting down the seconds, and Winnipeg scores, and I remember being like, that's the ball game. Like, that's the game. And sure enough, it was. Winnipeg just dominated the overtime periods until they scored. Blues ran out of gas. But the thing that's been stunning for the Blues this year, and this will be the last thing I say about the Blues, is how bad Jordan Binnington is this year. He's terrible. He's having an absolute dog shit of a season. And it's hilarious because the backup, whose name eludes me right now, has played 6 games in relief of Jordan Binnington. He's 6-0 with 3 shutouts. I get being loyal to a dude, but this other guy's performing. And if I'm Montgomery,
you gotta make that switch.
Yeah. If I'm Montgomery, we're trying to, unless we're not trying to win now, which maybe we're not. Maybe the Blues are doing a Cardinals and we be tanking, or we be sort of half-assed. Because right now the Blues are in that fascinating quagmire that they are in year after year, where it's like, we'll get like the 13th pick in the draft.
Such a good number.
It's like the Bulls. That's the thing that's frustrating about the Chicago Bulls. I'm glad they're just like, they had this hot start and then they've just been terrible since. But every year they might make it into the lottery process, but they're like odds of getting the number one pick or a top pick are like slim to zero. And so they end up picking like 12. Which you get a solid player, but you don't get a no doubter, and that's just frustrating. So what else do you want to say about the NHL right now? How are you liking? You know, you mentioned Detroit. What other than that? What's been a true surprise for you so far this season? What have you seen that's been a big surprise?
Easily Anaheim. The Anaheim Ducks have been a massive surprise and kind of a revelation as far as just what they've accomplished this year. I thought they were getting better, but I thought they were probably still a couple years away from, what is this? TGL, that's fine. A couple years away. I'm just looking at the standings right now to kind of see what's going on. You know, I think in the Atlantic, Detroit's a very pleasant surprise. Buffalo's not as bad as I thought they were. Toronto in last place. Was Mitch Marner that big of a deal? Yeah, was Mitch Marner that big of a deal? Yeah. Maybe we talked, I know at the end of last year, we talked about teams that we thought might make a push this year. Montreal was one of those teams. They're doing very well.
You know what's funny though is if you put Montreal in the West, they're ahead of the Blues. They'd be in fifth in the West. Like, that's how bad the West is. Colorado is doing Colorado things, but like, here's the thing about the Leafs. The Leafs are in dead last in the Atlantic. They're two games over 500.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, Boston's there as well.
Right.
You know, I think in the Metro, Philadelphia is a little bit of a surprise so far this year. You know,
well, they were good for a bit last year too.
They were good, and then they fell apart at the end. Pittsburgh's kind of one of those teams that, you know, Sid, I think, set the mark for most points for Penguins players. He surpassed Lemieux. And, you know, and you're at the point now where you're watching Sid and Ovi. And whether this is Ovi's last season or not is for debate. But Sid's got to be in that conversation as well, as far as, you know, neither of these guys are young anymore. You know, I think I look at that. Colorado's just ridiculously. I mean, you're talking a team that, what is their record? 28-2-7. Losses all year. It's, you know, I did not see the free fall for Vancouver coming this year.
Well,
but
here's the thing is the East is vastly superior to the West this season. Like, if you just look, at least by the numbers, like, if you look at it, because, like, again, I'll use the Toronto example. Toronto, last place team in the Atlantic. If they're in either of the Western divisions, they're in the hunt at 39 points. Like, what a difference a division can make. So, you know,
I would agree with that. I would agree that the East seems like the much stronger overall. That doesn't mean anybody's going to come out of the East and beat Colorado. Let's not kid ourselves. But
that's true. Like, you could have the best team in the worst divisions and still be the best team. That's 100% true.
I do like what Detroit and Montreal have built out there through their youth movement. It's finally paying some dividends. I can't imagine that if Florida gets healthier and starts playing a little bit more consistently, getting rid of them is going to be enormously difficult. And the Carolina Panthers, or not the Carolina Panther, well, that's the football team. The Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina Panthers are a good story too in the NFL. But yeah, I think, you know, you're looking at teams like the Hurricanes. You're looking at teams like, I don't know, where the Islanders, I can't quite get a feel on them, or the Devils, that sort of thing. The Rangers are still, who knows? But we're about halfway through the season. So you do, at this point, get to look at it and say, these teams look like they may not be going anywhere. Detroit and Anaheim, I would put as my biggest surprises of the year so far.
Yep. And we'll be looking at it more and more as we careen towards the end of the season, which, you know, is in June. Because hockey makes no sense.
But one team I want to ask you about, the team that eliminated you in dramatic fashion last year, Winnipeg, is really struggling this season.
Yeah,
and
I don't
feel
bad
about what's
going
on. I'm sure you don't.
Winnipeg was a great story last year. Were they a real story last year? That's, you know what I mean? Like, I think this is a return to the mean for Winnipeg. They are who they are. I can't throw too many stones because, again, like, I'm looking at my Blues and, like, this has been their MO for a while. When they lose by a billion. You know what I mean? Like, they're like I said, minus 36 or 35 or whatever it is. And Winnipeg doesn't lose like that. But I also don't think, I think they outkicked their coverage last year and are kind of returning to the mean a little bit. All right.
Just look at, like, Connor Hellebuck. He's 20th, ranked like 20th right now for goaltenders. And he was so strong last year. Remember that? But he's got a 2.58 goals against. It's not going to get it done, man.
No, it's really not. What also is going to get it done is we got to take a commercial break. So we will get, I want to try and get a little more on the hockey as we move along a little bit, because it is where we started this show. You know, the Olympics are coming up. That'll be fun. That's in about a month. So
yeah, I wonder if that rink's going to be done in time, right?
I mean, I sure hope so, because that tiny rink seems to have been such a controversy. If there's one thing I've seen is that the Olympics can do some shit really hastily and shoddily. So it'll be a lot of fun.
They really can
check out. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a couple of different aspects of college sports, a little basketball. We got to talk about football though, because there's no joy like talking about the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So when we come back, be ready for that. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. and Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ongar here, giving you all there is in the four corners of sports. Make sure if you like what we're doing, you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. Bull season is upon us. We're finally getting to bulls that are fun to watch. And the college football playoff is coming. That's in a few days, out of the day after, actually, because it'll be, is this going to drop on the 30th? Yes, it'll drop on the 30th. This episode will drop on the 30th. And there is New Year's Eve college football playoff game before we get into the three New Year's Day games. As expected, the teams we expected to win won handily. Like Oregon, like that score was closer than the game was. Same thing with the Ole Miss Tulane game was a nothing burger. Like just complete waste of time. Alabama got it done over Oklahoma, which I kind of figured would happen. Oklahoma is a defensive powerhouse, but really wasn't moving the ball offensively. And then I fully expected and was happy to see me beat Texas A&M. I called it in the previous show, paper tiger team. And so we're going to get Miami taking on, who are they taking on? I got to bring them back.
Hold on. I'm here.
Because it's Miami. It's Indiana.
They're taking on
Ohio State. No.
Miami's taking on, so it's Oregon, Texas Tech, Alabama, Indiana, Ole Miss, Georgia, Miami,
yeah,
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one on Wednesday.
Right. Which I fully expect Miami to lose that game to Ohio State. Like that's just Ohio State defensively is such a different animal at a level of team that I don't think Miami has faced all season. I think that, you know, I still speculate, while Miami's defense is quite good, I think Ohio State's offense is better than it gets credit for and does what it does because it doesn't have to. The thing you're going to have to do if you're Miami is force Ohio State to run the football, because Ohio State has two of the best receivers, two NFL players, one who will be back for a third season because he's not old enough to be eligible yet to play. But I sincerely think Ohio State, while it may be a fun game to watch, I think Ohio State's going to win that game and probably win it relatively comfortably. It'll be a two-score game by the time we get to the fourth quarter, but I think Ohio State wins it by like 10.
Let me ask you this. If Miami's defense plays like they did against Texas A&M, can they maybe not pull the upset, but at least keep this one close?
Yeah, I think they can make – I think if Miami plays its best game, completely best game, Ohio State still wins. But they feel it. I just don't think that Miami will be consistent enough to make Ohio State feel it. The best game on this lineup, in my opinion, is the Oregon-Texas Tech game. And it's all about, can Oregon score on Texas Tech's defense? Because Texas Tech has a great defense. They have a great offense, too. Oregon has been injured, has had some guys go down, but their weapons are back. Can Oregon be the Oregon team that we're used to seeing?
Oregon's favored in this game. 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah, because the Big Ten. So here's the thing: the Big Ten had three of the five best teams in the country all year, and then the rest of the Big Ten was delightfully mid. And the SEC was just deep. Like, they're just deep. And so from top to bottom, they're good teams, not great teams. I will say that the SEC is propped up a little bit by their scheduling model because it's convenient how none of the powerhouse SEC teams faced each other. Like, really, like outside of it. So you get an Ole Miss Georgia rematch where I think it'll be interesting to see. Georgia seems to have been playing with its food a little bit during the season, you know, not really working too hard. Their defense is still pretty solid. Their offense is nothing spectacular, but it's good enough. And so I don't, you know, Ole Miss, I think they played each other early in the year and Georgia got the best of them. So I think that's a rematch.
But looking it up right now, buddy.
But I think Georgia wins again. I'm really intrigued by the Indiana-Alabama game.
They played back on October 18th,
right,
and Georgia won 43-35, so it was a shootout.
Right, it was a shootout. But I think Georgia's defense has really gotten better over the last few weeks. Yeah, I mean, again.
I'd like, with going back to Oregon and Texas Tech, and like you're saying, you know, Oregon's Big Ten, Texas Tech, what, they're Big 12 champions, right? I got a weird feeling that one might be a shootout. I mean, I get what you're saying. Texas Tech's defense is really good. But I think could have pushed them on this.
Well, but see, I think that is a reflection of what people think Oregon's offense used to be. They run the ball a lot more than people are used to seeing. When people think of Oregon's offense, they think of spread them out, throw the ball all over the field, and they still have the receivers and the quarterback to do that, but they can also run the football. And so they have been really good at taking the air out of football. The only team that slowed down really is Indiana.
Yeah. And this time of year, I don't know if that up-tempo, wide open style really is the best course. It seems like more like kind of control the tempo of the game, a little bit more ball control, run the ball, like you're saying that Oregon may want to do to kind of.
But here's the thing. They're in the Orange Bowl. So it's warm. It's nice. It's easier to throw the ball around there.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. I'm most intrigued by the Indiana-Alabama game because I wonder how Indiana's defense is holding up. You lose your star defensive end in a freak accident, celebrating with fans. And he wasn't even doing anything stupid. He was just giving high fives and just lands awkwardly and tears an ACL. That's awful. The thing is that Indiana, everybody keeps questioning Indiana's depth. And Indiana's depth keeps shining through, and all they did was go undefeated for a season. I think they're good enough to still beat Alabama, and that Alabama offense, I'm not sold on their quarterback situation. Like, I get they're the ones with Mateer, right? Is that who?
Let me ask you this. Let me pose this to you. Because you think Rose Bowl, and you think, oh, beautiful weather, Southern California, all that
no,
stuff.
No, not at all. Ty Simpson's a quarterback.
Let me put this to you. 90% chance of rain at the Rose Bowl for this game. If it gets sloppy, and there's a chance that the Rose Bowl could get sloppy with this game because they're not set up for
Indiana's for rain. Favored easily. Indiana runs the ball way better than Alabama does.
That might be the thing that really dooms Alabama is that everything I'm seeing is that weather might be a factor for this game.
Right. And defensively,
that's gonna favor Indiana.
I'm going to defer to somebody else who knows more about football than I do, the Cover 3 podcast on CBS. They talk about this all the time. The thing about Indiana's defense is they don't always have the best athletes on the field, but they're never in the wrong spot, and particularly the linebackers. Like, it is very difficult to run the football against Indiana. I've watched that happen in real time. That's why Oregon struggled. Oregon couldn't run the ball against Indiana. It's the same reason why Ohio State struggled, because Ohio State, like, they have these two dynamic receivers, but the Bo Jackson couldn't get anything going for Ohio State. So that's where Indiana holds an advantage. I want to change the subject. Got one more topic I want to talk about today because college basketball has lost its shit. And it's insane to me what has happened. So for those who have not paid attention, Baylor this week announced the addition, a mid-season addition, to their roster, and I'm trying to get the guy's name right now. I got to find it. James Nnaji was drafted number 31 in the first round of the 2023 NBA draft and played in the G League, did not play in a game in the league. Like, he didn't play. He played in the G League for 2 years and is now coming back to Baylor. I know there are a lot of times where I make fun of old man curmudgeon Tom Izzo, but Tom Izzo laid it out pretty clearly about how bad this seems like it is for the NCAA. And this, you know, it's funny to me because I, as an Illinois fan, Illinois actually started this conversation this season because Illinois, about halfway through the season, they signed, like literally the day after they lost to Nebraska, they announced the signing of a 19-year-old player out of Europe who's been playing professionally there, actually stopped playing basketball for a bit to come and fill the last scholarship spot that the University of Illinois had on its roster. It was then announced that this guy was not going to be playing this season. He is literally brought in as a developmental prospect to play on the scout team, and we'll see what happens after a year and a half in the weight room and being in the system. So people were losing their shit, first of all, because the way it gets announced, Illinois doesn't announce it first. It gets broken by like Tipton Edits or one of those insider sites, and they make it like Illinois is bringing in another European pro wing and this. Everybody starts being like, this is outrageous. We're just bringing pros, whatever. Big difference between the European system and the way it works in the United States. In Europe, there is no college basketball. Like, right. You go, like, professional teams at the European level up to a certain point are very much just glorified AAU teams, college-level teams. Like, that's the caliber of competition being played here. Yes, these guys have contracts. Yes, they're being paid to play basketball. And probably the biggest controversial ad that Illinois made was during the regular recruiting cycle. They signed a 22-year-old point guard, Mihailo Petrovic, who is not playing right now, by the way. The guy is a liability when they put him on the court defensively. He's very good offensively, can't defend, can't stop anybody. So he's not even playing. But like Illinois is this like big, bad guy, like terrible. And now we're seeing this. And now we're seeing, I saw it today on Tipton Edits that there was rumors. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. I know we're up against it for time, so I want to be mindful of that. That two-way player Trenton Flowers, who plays for the Chicago Bulls, is drawing interest from multiple programs. He has played in an NBA game this year. Now, he doesn't have any NCAA eligibility yet, but they've already cleared a 7-foot G League player. What is to stop them from clearing this guy who played no college basketball, went straight to professional basketball? And this is the problem. And what are the guardrails? And the NCAA has lost so many lawsuits that, like, there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle, in my opinion. I don't know how you do it, because the NCAA, this all goes back to NIL, and this all goes back to the NCAA not doing something when they had a chance and hiding behind the idea of amateurism while universities were making bank on players' name, image, and likeness. I always fall back to the Johnny Manziel example. Johnny Manziel was at Texas A&M and was making all kinds of news. The reason Texas A&M got to make bank is because they could put a jersey with Johnny's number on, sell that jersey, take that money in, and Johnny didn't get a fucking dime. And I don't like Johnny Manziel. He is a shitbag person. But you know what? Texas A&M made all kinds of money off that guy. And if the NCAA had stepped in then and said, hey, these guys deserve it, instead of being like, no, no, they're amateurs, they can't earn money, we're not here bringing in professional players now because we can pay them. And any guardrail that the NCAA tries to put into place is going to get sued and is going to lose. Like, they're just going to lose. Sorry. Speech over. You got about 2 minutes to comment on it, Dave, and then we got to go. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I'm going to let that rant rest there. I just think, like, when Izzo was doing his rant, when he was like, well, somebody get Larry and Magic on the phone, get them in here right now. You know, it's like, why?
He's not wrong.
Right. I mean, where is, you know, Where is the eligibility? How are we defining that now? If we're just going to, like, you know, it makes no damn sense to me, because there's, like, you look at, like, I mean, if we're going to get there, you know, you can see creative arguments being made that some of these NBA players who may have been retired for a year or two, and like, well, I'm not playing in the NBA before anymore, you're going to bring them back to like the NCAA and throw them in there against the, I mean, even a retired NBA guy who's like a year or two out of retirement is going to succeed and excel in college basketball, right? I mean, and that shifts the balance of power and everything.
We'll see. Like, it could be that it doesn't. And if that is what it is, then who knows? Because these guys couldn't cut it at the professional level, right? That's why they're in the G League. They couldn't make a roster, so they are where they are. But it's just, it's such
just
a slippery
like
slope.
An extreme example, you know, like...
Right.
As far how do we define who's eligible or not? I mean, I get what you're saying, like G League guys, but like a Hall of Famer who's retired for 2 years says, I want to go back to college.
I'll take it a step further. There's reports out there, former Illinois 7-foot big man from like 4 years ago, Kofi Coburn, who left early to pursue professional basketball and is playing overseas. There are teams trying to bring him back. And he's been out of the league, he's been out of college basketball for 4+ years. They can pay him probably better than what he's here. And that guy was a fucking load. So, like, it's ludicrous. It's backwards. And
here's the only other thing I want to throw out.
Okay, we got to be fast.
How long before this extends to not just college basketball, but football, hockey?
I don't think it will, because the only way this gets fixed is if the NBA sets the rule. And the NFL has a rule. You can't play before X age. Like, that is there. That's the NFL's rule. It's not the NCAA's. That's why Jeremiah Smith can't bolt for the draft, even though he's been a professional football player playing for Ohio State for 2 seasons and still has to play one more because you can't leave until after your junior year. So it's the same thing with professional baseball. If you choose not to enter the draft out of high school, you can't re-enter for like X number of years. So it's got to come from the NBA, and I don't trust Adam Silver to do it. All right, Dave, we really got to go. We're running over time. I'm sorry, man. We should have just led with this. I shouldn't have talked college football playoff, but
that's all right.
And I could do this all day, to quote Captain America. All right, we're going to be heading out of here, folks. By the time we come back next year, first of all, Happy New Year, everyone. It'll be new year when we come back. We will be reflecting on what will be the semifinal matchups for the college football playoff. The NFL playoffs will be in full swing. A lot of exciting stuff going on. So make sure you stick around for that. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chairshot Radio Network and on the social.
Oh, I would say to go over to X at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG. Go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com. And yeah, by all means, check out the YouTube channel, Attitude of Aggression's YouTube channel. And I'll just cut it there. In the interest of time.
And you can follow me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You know where you can find me on the Chairshot Radio Network, because you love me enough to listen to this podcast. So not going to rehash that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm excited because next week, one of the most exciting post like game reports that we get to talk about with all the exciting stuff going on in the NFL and college football. So we'll see you all next week. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.